Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's great to hear so many long-term friends, clients, and collaborators on tonight's call. Mr. Bobby Robinson, you unequivocally get the hug and the high five, the standing ovation for being on this call for over 15 plus years. Alexis, you have had your team on this call for 6 plus years and counting. Don, Joe, many, many of you. Carol Boucher, thank you for being on this call, being loyal followers, listeners. Matt Smith, thank you, thank you, thank you. All of you who continually ring into this call. Pete and Wendy in New Orleans, thank you for being on tonight's call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's plenty of thank yous to go around. Now we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have a group that called the Guilt Cleanse, or it's called Guilt Cleanse. For any of you not a member of that group, it is a private group. It is a great place to release some of your anxieties. 5,000 plus members. If you apply for that, I will automatically put you in there this evening immediately after the call. There's been many, many great testimonies and content written specifically in that group. I have some exciting announcements, and then I'm going to move on to the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Next Saturday is Breakthroughs to Success. So if you're on this call and you're a coaching client and you've not attended a Breakthroughs to Success workshop, this September 7th, 8th, and 9th, there's still plenty of room for anyone who would like to attend. The next Breakthroughs to Success is in December. Breakthroughs is a companion product that is part of your coaching package. It's not mandatory attendance, but is game-changing, life-changing for those of you who seek to participate in it. So there's two left before the end of the era. The year 2017 is in the books. And then the following weekend, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with one of the most exceptional young women I have the privilege to collaborate and coach with. That is Abby O'Neill. Abby O'Neill, in a little less than 3 years, he's unequivocally setting records in her company. She is a tremendous producer. She's in a great team of upline support with Mike and Joanna Calvacanti, Tara Romano, Alexis Romano, just to name a few. Abby is crushing it. I'll be doing an event with her in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Saturday, September 16th. September 23rd, one of my hometowns, Kansas City, Missouri, Kaylin Hobbs, thank you for hosting that event. I know that Frank Pecoraro and Joe DiBianco are going to be going to some restaurants with me on that Friday and Saturday. September 29th, 30th, and October 1st, I will be in Orlando, Florida with a whole host of inspirational speakers, writers, authors from network marketing and direct sales. Very excited about October 8th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, not a place I speak in routinely. I've spoken in Madison a number of times, but I will be in Milwaukee. October 21st, Albany, New York. That's going to be a fantastic event. Frank Pecoraro, who has had me there on numerous occasions. I have many people driving up from New York City for that event. I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut on October 28th. Beautiful Orange County, California, with another exceptional woman, Marissa Campbell, and a whole host of other network marketing and direct sales superstars. That is November 11th. That's right at the John Wayne Airport. November 18th is an open date. I will be filling that very quickly. December 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, Rye, New York. And December 30th, I'll be closing out the year in beautiful Marina Del Rey, right? That is close to West LA, also close to the airport. And also, just was able yesterday to book one of the most exceptional men I've ever had the privilege of coaching with. That would be G. Edwin Griffin. Ed Griffin is the inspiring author of a book that every one of you on tonight's call should have. It is called The Creature from Jekyll Island. It reads like fiction, a fact book on the history of the Federal Reserve banking system. He takes it all the way back to Andrew Jackson, go back into the 1830s and 40s, a fascinating historical novel about the history of banking, and will forever change your view of money. It'll definitely assist you to change your dialogue with money. Ed is also very skilled in other healing modalities. Ed lives in Beverly Hills, California, and I am privileged to have Ed speak, and I'm going to do my best to have him as a guest on the call. His content is mind-blowing, but he's going to be speaking at the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. Ed has not spoken for me for 8 years. You can find his content on realityzone.com. And I mean, when I say mind-blowing, it is mind-blowing. His content is, it must be witnessed to really understand. The Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop is for my coaching clients who've attended Breakthroughs to Success and want to attend that workshop. That's a more advanced course for speaking, writing, having a better understanding of money, content, websites, how to effectively create a brand, and all other areas of being able to put yourself in social media. It's tailored specifically for Facebook. And we also cover other some of the other social media places, but a place to really take your Facebook brands to the next level and how to create leads on command. Frederick Lehrman will also be a featured speaker at that event. That's usually an event for only 20 or 30 people, and I'm very inspired for this year's event. Just the opportunity to have Mr. G. Edwin Griffith at that event is a once-in-a-lifetime situation for me. Now we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One of my favorite topics is adversity and adverse situations and what is required of you or anyone to overcome challenges, to overcome an addiction, to overcome problems, to overcome large amounts of debt, to overcome your disorganization or any situation that presents itself adversely. Tonight's call is called the adversity factor. And what is required of you to be able to be able to address adversity in a very relaxed body? Well, the first situation you want to learn to do is not overwhelm yourself. When an adverse situation happens, the last thing you want to do is go into fight or flight or panic or check out or take yourself out of the flow. You want to focus on a solution and results, not the problem. Because we're all human, sometimes we're going to melt down. Well, you want to learn to melt up rather than melt down. And when you face adversity, you want to face it right in the face of adversity and begin to live in the result and live in the problem, or live in the result and live in the solution. Unfortunately, most people magnify the problem. They speak about the problem. They overwhelm themselves with the problem. The problem becomes their problem. They spend a lot of time in drama, chaos, and they attract other problem seekers rather than problem solvers. Now, someone who lives in the solution can look at a situation for what it is, address it diplomatically, and move on. I once let one of my accountants, he suggested I move into an offshore tax structure. This was back in the 90s. It was much more common back then. After 9/11, that tax structure became obsolete. The Internal Revenue Service, not only the IRS, but the Criminal Investigation Department of the IRS came to my door. I must admit I had an out-of-body experience. I'd never experienced that type of situation, but relatively quickly I moved into a solution. I was able to address that situation. And in a few months, I had a component of the resolution, and after a three-year situation, it was eventually resolved. One of the situations that my attorney said to me, Jeff, is the wheels of justice grind slowly, meaning don't focus on that situation. Focus on creating results. That was one of the greatest lessons I ever learned, because the show must go on. When you have adverse situations happening, you have to do your best to stay in the solution. Now, no matter how big the problem is, you want to be solution-oriented, meaning if you have a boss or someone at your job that is challenging, if you have someone that you dislike at work or someone who's making your job very difficult for you, that is the very reason you have a business. I interviewed Alexis Romano on this very call a few years ago, and I've asked her what she was encountering back in the day when she had a job and what she focused on to overcome the situation. That's what you want to be able to do. I had C.G. Siddons on this call several years ago. She was faced with the crossroads. Do I go back to work or do I go full-time? Many of you have been in that situation. But if your mind says, oh, my God, I can't pay my mortgage, I can't pay my bills, well, there may be reality in that. Doesn't mean you just quit your job. That doesn't mean you just pack it in, but it means in the reality zone, you have to have a reason to succeed that's bigger than your challenges. When you focus on challenges and problems, you begin to magnify them. Now, I know many of you got to see the great Tony Robbins recently speak, and he talked about focus. Well, Robbins wrote one of the greatest chapters ever written in personal development, self-improvement, in Awaken the Giant Within, Chapter 4. I've practically memorized that chapter on belief. Belief means sense of certainty. Now, if you knew unequivocally that you would not fail, you would relax. You wouldn't put so much energy into failing. Unfortunately, a lot of people put energy into failing rather than energy into learning the skills, habits, and mindset of the vocation, the skills, habits, and mindset of communication. Network marketing, direct sales, internet marketing, real estate, mortgage, small business ownership is a vocation. It has a certain set of skills for every one of them. If you're in a network marketing business or a direct sales business, you're on this call tonight. It's not that it's a difficult business for most of you. It's a new business. It requires a new set of skills that's outside of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is typically your failure zone because many people fail to engage the skills required to be successful. Now, in reality, the network marketing and direct sales does not require a lot of IQ. It requires EQ, street sense, emotional intelligence. It requires a better understanding of people and their predictability. It requires a better understanding of sales, branding, marketing, and the basics of how to use social media, specifically Facebook. Now, Facebook has been a phenomenon for network marketing and direct sales. Now, once again, I love Facebook. It's not the only social media site, because there's LinkedIn, there's Instagram, there's all the others. But for practical application, Facebook is a place where you can develop your first culture. Building an email list, that's a whole other situation. LinkedIn, that's another situation that you can also get results. But you want to be able to focus on building a Facebook brand on your personal page. It's relatively easy. But if you consider it to be adverse, if you check out, you're worried about what your friends, family, and other people are going to feel or say about you, then you've created your own adversity to fulfill your feelings that keep you overwhelmed and anxious. Now, many people do this. They create their own adverse situations. They create their own situations. They magnify the problem. You want to minimize the problem, focus on a result and the solution. So what does that actually mean? What will bring you the greatest return on your time and energy? If you're in a network marketing business, a direct sales business, results are going to bring you that greatest return. And it's not going out and talking to people. It's learning how to communicate with people so you can qualify people for your products, services, benefits, features, and you can also easily and effectively sell the dream. Now, this is not a difficult task. This is going to be new. But if your brain creates a placebo effect, means you overwhelm yourself with the thought or the idea of being rejected, now you have your excuse and your reason to avoid changing. And that's what most people do. They create their own adverse situation. They tell themselves a story that's bigger than the result they desire to create, and now they're overwhelmed. You require clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y, clarity. What does that mean? Clarity means you have a vision. You have a very clear vision of an outcome you seek to create. Now, I can ask 9 out of 10 people their dreams and goals. Most of them, the first sound out of their mouth is followed by well, and they typically tell me they want to help people, which is noble. They want to help people. They want to give back. They want to do these situations. That's great, but if you're going to open a restaurant, you're not opening a restaurant to help people. Now, helping people would be a component, but you also have to have business, commerce, sales volume that moves. Products have to come off shelves. People have to be able to see the value of your products and services. And if you have a company that continues to come out with new products and services, you want to be able to promote these. You want to be able to promote these, engage people, branding, marketing, selling, asking. These are all the questions and these are all the skills that you must master to overcome your adverse situations. Now, if you're like most Americans, you probably have a lot of debt, whether it's mortgage debt, real estate debt, whether it's unsecured debt, liability debt, credit card debt, it becomes the American way. And if that's your adverse situation, then your objective would be to create a system to pay down your debt. And you do that methodically, systematically, in an organized way. Now, if you're not an organized person, you're not a detailed person, then you're going to have challenges mastering the moving parts of success. If you live in a lot of overwhelm, if you live in disorganization, well, that's another adverse situation that you face. So your mindset, the way you communicate about the adverse situation, will determine whether you're in action or inactive. And if you're inactive, you'll be on the bench getting ready to get ready. You're the type of person that would tend to go to the events, the rallies, the seminars, the conventions, but the spray paint wears off the rust and you're not producing. To overcome adverse situations, you must produce. I was once $100,000 in credit card debt due to some poor decisions, some compulsive debting situations in businesses that were not good for me. It was in a very adverse situation. Not only was I in credit card debt, but I had ran out of credit. I had ran out of money. I was in the NFL club in three categories. NFL, no funds left, no friends left, and not for long. It meant that I required a sense of urgency, not a sense of scarcity. Money and credit were not available to me, but I couldn't live in scarcity. I couldn't acknowledge that. I could not give that situation power. Now, I was in a situation that I had to create results with no money and no credit. And I didn't look at it like, oh, my God, how am I going to pull it off? I knew that I had a very short window to be able to do that. I gave myself 90 days or I was going to have to get two jobs. And there's no way I was going to get one job, so two jobs were not an option. So I focused on results. I gave up doing certain things that no longer served me. I loved to ski. I stopped skiing that winter. I loved to go to the gym. I stopped going to the gym. I didn't give up exercise, but I gave up the 2 hours that it would take me to drive to and from the gym and the workout sometime more. I realized that I was always also using the gym as an excuse not to produce because I could avoid my problems. That's what most people do when they encounter adversity, is they chronically avoid. Now, if that is you on tonight's call, you want to take a deep breath. You want to learn to let go. Letting go means separating your feelings from the events. If you had adverse situations, you have relationship challenges, a divorce, challenging business that you own is not producing results, the job you have is challenging, one of your superiors or employers is challenging, you've just been let go, restructured, you have more debt than you can possibly handle, you have more month left at the end of the money. These are all adverse situations, and those are not reasons for you to be overwhelmed. Those are reasons for you to change. Now, what does change really mean? Change is a behavior. You want to be able to change a behavior, meaning you don't do the same thing over and over so you receive a predictable result. You have to be able to take a good look objectively. Dr. Joe Dispenza says it so well, he uses a term called metacognition, meaning you can see a situation for what it is, you live in rigorous honesty of the situation, you don't overwhelm yourself about the situation, and one day at a time you start to create a result. But if you make it so big you can't start, then that's the adverse situation that you'll continue to perpetuate to stay overwhelmed. I've had businesses where we got up to 10, 15, almost 20,000 a month once upon a time, and the whole bottom fell out of the business. The bottom fell out of the business because of situations I was doing and situations outside of myself. I was in a company that changed its pay plan. That wasn't my fault, but it was my responsibility to do something about it within a relatively short period of time. My check went from $15,000 to $5,000 to nothing, and I had to change companies. Now, I'm not saying that the grass is always greener, but that the situation for me to get out of that adverse situation, I had to let go. That was my baby. I thought that was going to be a millionaire in that company, but it didn't happen that way. I went to two back-to-back situations that were not favorable for me. I ended up $100,000 in credit card debt. I'm not suggesting you go through that, but that was a character building moment, CBM, character building moment. Character building moments are really where you're going to test your character. Now, right now, tonight, this may not have been the best year for you so far, but take a look where you are, the end of an era, the death of the ego. What does that mean? It means that 2017, you have 4 full months and some change left. That means you could unequivocally turn the entire year around by the way you finish strong. That means you have 1/4 of the calendar year, you have 1 month, September, and a few days before September 1st, that is plenty of time for you to face your adverse situation. Now, what happens to many people is they get emotionally addicted to a set of feelings. Those emotional addictions lead to other addictions, specifically procrastination, food consumption, compulsive debting, chronic lying to yourself, that doesn't mean you're a liar, but that's what many people do. They avoid, they tell themselves stories. If you're an addicted storyteller, then there's a high probability you're not producing, that you're avoiding. Other addictions that are alcoholism, drug addiction, all the other situations that lead to avoidance. You require one day of sobriety. Sobriety meaning you can go an entire day without criticizing yourself. And in that day you don't criticize yourself, you live in the solution. What does that actually mean? It means that you actually be in the game for a day. Like you're really in the game. You're not like talking about the game. You're not living the game. You're like in the game. You're winning the game. What many people do is they think that studying, reading, listening to calls, getting on Facebook, writing a post or two is actually business. Well, business is business. You have to engage the business, the rules of engagement. I hear many people say, well, connect with two or three people a day. Well, that's great. But if you're not actually beyond the connection, you have to be able to have communication and qualify people for what you're doing. You require qualified leads. You require conversations that lead to an outcome. You require results. I coached several hours today, and I had 1 hour of dead time, and in that 1 hour of dead time, I did 3 15-minute coaching calls and closed a sale. Now, that doesn't happen every day, when I 1 out of 3, but it means that as long as I've been in business, I'm still in the game prospecting, because prospecting is a way of life. You can prospect through Facebook, social media, text, whatever it is, but it means you're starting to collect decisions, because collected decisions are what lead to an outcome, what lead to a result. And then as you start to build a culture, within the culture you're looking for a few people who have clarity. That will assist you to overcome your adversity. So your adversity, if you find yourself living in lack, scarcity, poverty consciousness, there's more month left at the end of the money, well, you require a leveraged business to overcome that situation. Real estate, network marketing, direct sales, intellectual property, internet marketing, coaching, all of these, but the most, from my perspective, going out and being a coach, being a speaker, being an internet marketer, selling real estate, these are all great models, but I'll tell you, where you can create the quickest leverage right now, and that's typically in network marketing and direct sales. Now, you might be able to get instant gratification by selling a coaching program here or there, which is good, but long-term, if you want long-term residual income, it's going to come from a leveraged business. Now, building a business is methodical, but it doesn't have to be slowly methodical. This is going to be a direct reflection of how committed and how serious you are. In any network marketing or direct sales business, you can rank advance relatively quickly, provided you're focused. Not hocus pocus, you're in focus, but you focus on the solution. You focus on results. But if you focus on what you don't have, who's not giving you the love, who's not giving you the money, if you keep wondering why people do these situations to you, then your energy, your focus is in the wrong direction. Then you'll attract your reality, people and situation, to fulfill that focus. There's three different phases of energy that you focus on. Number one is anxiety. Number two is awareness. And number three is enlightenment. Now, in those three different levels of energy and anxiety, there's anger, hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, resentment, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. These are the major anxieties that most people in today's society find themselves residing a large percent of their day and a large percent of their life. Those are typically not the type of people that you will build a business with. Now, some of those people may consume some of your products, but those people typically find flaws, they get overwhelmed, they're not committed, and they don't stay the course. Now, the second kind of energy, that's called conscious awareness. In that type of energy, you begin to change. Your attractor factor changes, the parking spaces begin to show up for you, your leads start to change a little bit, sometimes a lot, depending on where you are. In that conscious awareness, you live more in a no state, you K-N-O-W. When you're in anxiety, you live in a different no, N-O, and you come up with a lot of reasons why you can't. When you're consciously aware, you start to live in reasons why you are, not why you should, not why you could. You're living in an I-am state. You're living more a day at a time. You're living more in the present and in the now. Now, the next level of energy, this is where your attractor factor unequivocally begins to change. That's called synchronicity. That's a meaningful coincidences. That's enlightenment. That's where there's no separation. That means the parking space is always there for you, not occasionally, not frequently, always. That means there's no separation between you and the outcome and you and the result. Because you have become so skilled, you become so masterful in your emotional state, you don't melt down, you don't have adverse situations, you seldom do you get taken out of the game, that you are focused on results, you're focused on other people as well, you're able to mentor people, you're able to lead people, you're able to bring a few people with you in this kind of energy because your attractor factor has changed. And you attract people who aren't in drama, not in chaos, and then your mastermind alliance begins to change. One or more of like mind coming together for a common cause, it becomes 3, 5, 7, 11, 15, 20. This is how you become a millionaire and a millionaireess, as you live in a much more enlightened state of consciousness. It means your clarity and your focus is different. The way you communicate with yourself and the way you communicate with others is different. Any kind of adverse situation gets neutralized quickly in this state of awareness. An adverse situation, you're able to neutralize it, not give it power, not give it energy. You're able to deflect it. You can pass it off to your attorneys, people in your circle of influence. You don't get seduced, sucked into it. You don't get overwhelmed by it. You're able to live in the solution. And in that solution, you know that no matter what happens, that you're going to come out on the other side of it. You know that no matter what happens, that you will stay not only above water, that you will rise above the water in that kind of situation, because you just, adversity doesn't have the same meaning to you. Now, adversity is not a way of life. Adversity is adversity. You don't want to speak into existence that you're great at adversity. You'll address adversity in adverse situations, but you don't want to be adversity consciousness where you attract adversity so that you can unwind yourself from the conflict you create. That's what a noble struggler does. You want to be able to address adversity as it comes. Now, as you start to let go of adverse situations, then you don't worry about getting in trouble. One of the most common situations that I used to create for myself is I got arrested so many times with drugs and alcohol, doing situations in blackouts, that I actually began to expect to get arrested. And I would panic if I would see a police officer. I would create adverse situations to fulfill my anxiety about the adverse situations that I worry about creating. I would worry about getting in trouble. I would hear a siren go off, and I'd panic. I'd go into fight or flight. Even early in my direct sales and network marketing career, I would create problems based on some of the lingering addictions that I would create, and I would be in trouble. I would always be in trouble. Now, I wasn't always in trouble as a kid. Trouble came being an addict for me. I got in trouble a lot as an addict, so being in trouble became a way of life, meaning that I began to attract adverse situations to unwind myself so I could get a neurochemical high from creating the adverse situation. I know some of you go, wow, that's me. That was me. I'd create adverse situations so I could be my own Sir Galahad. I'd be able to unwind and go, wow, dodged another bullet. And I would actually get a neurochemical high from the low. The high and the low would come together and go, dodged another bullet. Well, I don't want to be dodging bullets. Being a noble struggler is not noble. Being a noble struggler is struggling nobly, exhausting yourself for no reason to stay exhausted. And adversity is something you want to be skilled at, but adversity is not something you want to expect. You address adversity or adverse situations as they come, but your objective is not to attract them. You don't want to be bragging to yourself, I'm really good at overcoming adversity. Well, you'd want to be really good at not attracting adversity. There's a big difference between not attracting adversity than becoming good at overcoming it. Because if you become good at overcoming it, then you get a neurochemical high from the conflict that you create. And this is why it's also important that you learn to neutralize the perpetrators and the violators in your life, and then you don't feel guilty or resentful about the conflict that you get into with them. And you don't want to have to validate, justify, and explain yourself to these people. You want to be able to neutralize these people easily and effortlessly without being in adverse situation. Adversity creates character. True, but let's do this. You can create character without adversity. I mean, true. Hitting rock bottom is, it is what it is, but you do not have to have adversity of great character. Great character comes from changing your character, letting go of some of the anxieties that you create over and over, being and staying present. Now, if you're one of these people who's late for everything, you're late for your bills, and you're someone who, I actually knew someone who used to hold on to her payments so she would make a house payment until she would almost get foreclosed on. She got a major high from what it would happen to do this. And I've seen people do this. They pay their bills late, even though they have the money, because it creates a high to create that adversity. You do not require adversity. You require peace. You want to be ITF, in the flow. And character-building moments, they can come from adversity, but character-building moments can come from empowering others, from empowering yourself, from really starting to develop your character. Pride and task well done. Being your best. Being exceptional at what you do. That's where you really start to build your character. As you start to mentor other people, as you start to focus on creating checks with other people while you're creating with yourself, this is how you create character. Understanding people's predictability, understanding why people do what they do. The more difficult the situation, the fewer the people succeed. So what many people do is they see a situation as difficult. Oh, wow, this is really hard. Now, a lot of people talk about how hard changing is. They actually edify it. They talk about it, how difficult it is. Well, the more you talk about the difficulty that you're in, the higher the probability you'll attract your reality, people and situations to fulfill those feelings. But when you learn to let go, and letting go is a skill. Letting go is this simple. It's separating your feelings from events. Letting go is not a how do I. It's an I am state that you live in. This is why those of you who have ever followed Dr. Joe Dispenza, Fred Allen Wolf, now my favorite's Dispenza, but Fred Allen Wolf, John Assaraf, Dr. Joe Dispenza, David Hawkins, who's another favorite of mine, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, who wrote Biology of Belief, and then there are other speakers and writers who really understand the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that create your personality. Now, if your personal reality is based on conflict, and if your personal reality is you live in problems, if your personal reality is you live in an overwhelmed state, then you're virtually creating your adverse situations to dodge another bullet. Now, I must admit, I'm in recovery of this very situation, and it became a way of life for me for about a 10-year period as an addict. I would black out and do things that I would get reminded of the next day that were embarrassing and sometimes got me in legal challenges. I would do them but adversity became such a way of life for me that I expected it to happen. So how do you overcome adversity? Well, first of all, you want to get clear that this is not the life I want to live. I don't want to live in this kind of situation. I don't want to be late on my bills. I don't want to be behind. I don't want to live like this anymore. It's really your responsibility, the ability to respond, to choose a better state of being. Now, you can be financially challenged and not have to give that power. Now, that doesn't mean you're in denial either. It means you might be financially challenged, but in clarity, in focus, in any kind of relaxed state, or if you meditate, or any situation like this, or any healing modality, or any situation you can take a deep breath and release your anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened. You can also forgive yourself for the events that have happened in your past so you don't live in regret. You cannot be in a relaxed state when you're in regret. And worry, you can start to let go of your anxiety about other people and why they do these things to you. You have to learn to focus on solutions. Now, what are solutions? Solutions are situations that are favorable. You get a different kind of emotional feeling from it. You get a neurochemical high based on a dopamine release rather than a neurochemical high based on a cortisol release. So when you focus on results and solutions, then you start, and plus you also have to be realistic about it. But if you require instant gratification to prove you're good enough, well, then you'll never prove you're good enough because you're never good enough. A result doesn't give you self-esteem. You give yourself self-esteem. Results can enhance your self-esteem, but your results are going to be a direct reflection of you letting go of your anxiety and relaxing into a state of being that there's not adversity, there's not conflict, you're not concerned about what other people are going to say, you're not worried about offending people, you're able to relax into your body, you're in an inner body experience rather than an outer body experience. That means that you start to become one with, your body and your brain start to align, and you're able to integrate a new set of feelings. You're not rewiring your brain. You're wiring a brain that's relaxed. That's one day at a time. That means you can go a whole day without number one, being in conflict, a whole day without criticizing yourself, a whole day without being anxious and overwhelmed about situations that haven't happened. Now, this is not only idyllic, it's a choice. Now, it's not a 100% game. You can't give 150% because there's 100 to give, but you can give your best effort. See, when you come from your best effort, then you're starting to be your potential. And living your potential is when you start to be it. And I ask my clients this all the time. Do you have any idea how good you could be? Many of them check out and go, I never thought about it. And I'll say, well, now that you're considering it, do you have any idea how good you could be? Now, if you don't, that means you don't really understand your potential. Your potential is limitless. You have a book inside you. You have a number one record that you could write. You could be a millionaire, millionaireess. You could empower other people. You could be a coach. You could be a person of influence and affluence. But you have to learn to let go of your anxieties about outcomes that haven't happened. You also have to let go of people who create adverse situations for you. Now this is a whole topic. If you're addicted to people who create adversity for you, then you live in guilt and resentment of that person. Then you'll have challenges letting go of these situations. Now, it's easy to pin the tail of the donkey on a family, but it's not always the family. It's the people you date, the people you mate, the people you associate with. I mean, your power of association will either empower you or disempower you. And if you have your foot in disempowerment and your foot in empowerment, then you have to be able to really assess the situation. People say to me, does that mean I can't talk to my family? It means whatever it means. It means that you have to be clear that if you're going to surround yourself occasionally with people who create adversity that don't empower you, then you have to learn how to neutralize these people. If you're going to be in their circle of influence either occasionally or frequently, means that you don't give them power. You don't operate in the same way that you used to. You don't validate, justify, explain yourself. You don't get mad at them. You don't get in the car and go, I don't understand these people. Why do they act like this? It's important you understand these people. How can you change if you don't understand people's predictability? How can you separate your feelings from people who attempt to put you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself if you're neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that you get angry with them? Anger is another way to create adversity. If you're AAT, angry all the time, if that's you, and if you find yourself pissed off at people, don't understand them, well, that's your own. You're creating your own adversity. There's no flexibility when you're angry. When you're flexible, you can adapt and adjust, and you're able to bend into adversity. You're able to let go of adversity. But most importantly, if I'm going to take the gavel and pound it on the judge desk, adversity is not what you seek to create. You seek to avoid adversity, but most importantly, you seek to not create it. And if you're someone who creates adversity, then you're going to tell yourself a lot of stories. I coached a remarkable woman earlier tonight, and she was just explaining to me how she was really letting go of a situation in a relationship she was in. A major breakthrough for her, because the old her would have said, oh my God, I can't believe it. What if this doesn't work out? I'm not going to be able to make it on my own. What am I going to do? Well, when you let go of those kinds of stories, you're not creating adversity before it even happens. A lot of people speak adversity into existence, then they create the very situation they seek to avoid to create a neurochemical high that they're emotionally addicted to. It's the high and the low that most people get that creates the emotional addiction that keeps them in chaos, in drama, overwhelmed, unorganized, disciplined, creating adverse situations. And the more that you let go, letting go meaning separating your feelings from events, the more you're able to do this, it means you're no longer giving power to problems. You're no longer giving power to people who want to cause you problems. You're no longer giving power to stories that haven't happened. If you're someone who worries all the time, and I'm always worried, well, that doesn't give you a lot of room to be conscious. If you're worried all the time and you're always worried, what that means, what that means emotionally is that you're overwhelmed all the time. And if you're so disorganized, you don't know where to start, well, it means you're rebelling against yourself, and you're going to rebel against your own success because you'll never be able to master the moving parts of success required for you to be and stay that person that you're committed to being, the will to win. Now, what does that actually mean? It means whatever it means. It's a sports cliche. And you've heard the why winners win and why losers lose. Well, you want victories for you and then victories for others. But that means you have to be able to become victorious and not a victim. You have to let go of being victimized so you can be victorious. Now, a lot of us have been victimized. Employers, challenges in homes we grew up with, brothers, sisters, family members, schoolyard, bullies on the playground, employers that don't see our worth. I mean, there's been a lot of situations that happened to us where it creates a compounded emotional effect. But no matter what you've been through, you can change. You can change your character. But this requires a commitment that very few people are willing to do. Very few people are willing to stay in a new emotional state long enough that they don't relapse frequently. That's what recovery is. Recovery is the ability to separate yourself from the feelings that created your addictions so you can stay in a space one day at a time long enough that you create a new repetition and experience, that your brain begins to relax, you move out of the neocortex of your overwhelmed left brain, you start to become much more innovative and creative, you stop asking how do I questions, and you start to trust your feelings. Now, when you trust, Then in an adverse situation happens, you trust the outcome that's going to happen rather than doubt the outcome that hasn't happened. Now, when you're able to trust, then there's very little separation from you and the outcome. But if you're not trusting and you have challenges with that situation, then you'll continue to attract the adverse situations. Now, resilience. You must be resilient. Now, what does that mean? You want to be flexible. That's what it means. It means you're resilient, but you're also flexible in your resilience. Resilience means whatever it means, but from my perspective, in context to tonight's call, resilience means that you're going to stay in a situation long enough, not only until you figure it out, but until you master it. Now, once you start to master your emotions, then you become a different mind-body connection to a different set of events, the events that you create now. Most people are the mind-body connection to past events that keep them overwhelmed, anxious, in a state of being that they're not able to attract to their reality people in situations that they can create a new culture with or they can create a compounded effect with. But as you begin to have a better understanding and you focus on outcomes that are favorable, unfortunately, most people focus outcomes that are familiar. Now, there's a difference between familiar and favorable. Favorable means you'll win. That means you'll win more frequently. That is the will to win, the desire to win. Now, to be a winner, you must be competitive. And you're competing with your ego, you're competing with yourself, and your opponents oftentimes are your prospects. Your opponents oftentimes are your adversaries. Occasionally, you'll encounter some people who don't want you to succeed. Generally speaking, overall, not everyone is against you. But if you believe that, then you'll attract to your reality a lot of adversity. Occasionally, there'll be someone in your circle of influence or your family that will say something to you. They're called naysayers, haters, you know what they're called. But you shouldn't have many of these happen. If you start to really develop your character, you start to have integrity, meaning that you don't lie to yourself, you don't avoid, you start to lead by example, your example becomes clear and good, you're able to empower yourself and others, well, you're going to start to rank advance in your companies, you're going to start to attract a different type of person to reality. And in an adverse situation, you don't stay in it. You're able to move through it. It's not you don't move beyond it. You've got to move through it so that you are beyond it. But you got to be willing to go through that process. This requires inner game skills, peace. Now, I've had meltdowns, but they don't last very long. I've had one that lasted a day occasionally, but seldom do they ever go more than a day or so. But even in that day, I stayed productive. I may not have produced results, but I was in the production stage of overcoming the anxiety that was either created that was real or imagined. A lot of our stories, some of them are real, most of it's imagined. When you change the way you imagine. Now, what most people imagine is an outcome that's not favorable, but your imagination from your limbic brain is where you start to imagine what it would be like to live the good life, to live your dreams, your terms, and your time frame. When you come from that kind of imagination, your brain and your eye iris creates a different focus and it creates a different picture. But if you're neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings based on past events, then your brain creates a placebo effect as your body starts to react. When your body runs your brain, you're already in fight or flight before it even happens. This is why so many people avoid using a telephone or using any way to reach out and connect with people, because they have anxiety about the outcome based on a past event, and their brain's already creating a future event that hasn't happened to fulfill those feelings. Those are the adverse situations that you create before they happen. As you start to let go, and you start to live in a much more relaxed body, a released body, then you start to raise your level of consciousness, meaning you're aware. Instead of saying, I don't know why I do this, you know why you used to do it, and you don't do it any longer. When your self-talk changes, when you're self-directed, when you let go of words of hesitation, words of non-commitment, words that aren't even words, when you stop using sounds, when you become clear in your communication, your body will eventually begin to align, and you become, your self-talk will create your self-direction. But if your self-talk keeps you misdirected, then you're going to be off course. But when your self-talk starts to create the direction that you know you're capable of going, then you're self-directed. Your objective is to be able to attract to your reality a few self-directed, like-minded success seekers that you can spend quality time with and little time with because they're self-directed. Your objective is to be able to create a culture, build a culture, attract a culture of people of like mind who come together for common causes. And now in that kind of situation, then the drama, the chaos, and the adverse situations are minimal. There's not politics. You don't have room for it. Now, occasionally you'll encounter someone who wants to create politics. I mean, it's not only human nature, but it's conditional behavior, because you'll encounter people who have a conflict consciousness. There are a few people who'd rather be right than rich. They would rather stir situations up. They will find the flaws. But once again, if you're not addicted to that kind of those kinds of feelings, that will show up infrequently, and you will be able to neutralize that situation relatively quickly. Also, when you stop wondering why people do this, why didn't they go to this event? Why didn't this happen? I don't understand them. When you do understand them, then you stop creating the very situation that you seek to avoid. Now, challenges create character. I've said this, challenges create champions. Me personally, I'd rather win a game over the course of the game rather than pull it off at the last second as time runs out. I'd rather win methodically, and I'd rather succeed methodically than do it at the last minute. So as you start to let go of your adversity consciousness, you'll start to develop a prosperity consciousness. It means you'll be much more in the flow. And as you start to let go of adverse situations and the high you get by creating them, your body will begin to, your energy begins to change. You're a lot more in your body. You don't give power, and you don't focus on the pain body. You focus on the pleasure body. As you start to live in peace and pleasure, as you start to live in joy and bliss, then enlightenment, it becomes another situation. Now, when you start to know, K-N-O-W, your entire game changes. When you get beyond being safe, many people focus on safety rather than success. You want to focus on success, not safety. Now, many people want a safe, secure way to be successful. Well, that doesn't mean you have to be reckless. That doesn't mean you have to take big risks. But it means you're not focused on safety. You want to focus on results. I mean, this is where so many people miss the mark. They're so concerned with failing that they focus on being safe. Now, what's safe is procrastination. This is why many people avoid success, because of the association with the risk for the reward. Well, there's absolutely no risk when you're committed. Now, when you understand this, there's no risk. The risk is when you make mistakes because you overwhelm yourself. You make mistakes because you talk too much. You make mistakes because you're addicted to getting into trouble. You'll make mistakes because of how overwhelmed you are about making mistakes. See, you've changed your focus. So when you're focused on mistakes and you're focused on scarcity, you can't be creative. I will tell you this. It doesn't amaze me how many people say it, but I am very attentive to how many people tell me they can't hire me because of the money. They go, "Well, you have no idea. That's a lot of money." Granted, whatever the price point is, whether it's $30, $300, $3,000, $30,000, $300,000, $3 million, or 300 million people, $300 million, there's a few people who can overcome the situation because they're creative and innovative. I've had people say, "Oh, there's no way I can hire you." You're correct, because of the way you communicate. And if you're results conscious, if you're commitment conscious, if you live in the solution, you can create a solution to the adverse situation relatively quickly. But if you've lived in debt for a lot of your life, and debt is a way of life, and you're a chronic borrower and a chronic compulsive spender, well, then you'll have challenges attracting to your reality people in situations who have a different dialogue with money. When you have broke thoughts, you'll attract broken people. When you live in poverty consciousness, you'll attract your reality similar situations to fulfill your feelings, and you'll actually wonder why no one good shows up in your life. Well, it's because of the way you communicate with yourself. That's your self-talk. And then you're not very self-directed, because you have to be directed, and that's why most people that talk like that have a job. As you start to really live in the inner game and start to understand the inner game of business, the inner game of life, the inner game of entrepreneurship, you'll be able to tell quickly who's a qualified buyer and who's not a qualified buyer. You'll be able to tell the difference between a prospect and a suspect. Now, I can ask any one of my top-tier clients and students that I've collaborated with, or other speakers who I know, and you'll hear them go, "Oh, yeah, I could tell immediately." Now, that doesn't mean that anyone's prejudging people. It means they know. When you K-N-O-W, when you know, that's trust. When you know, there's no separation between you and the outcome. When you know, there'll be a plane seat for you. A great situation will happen. Instead of creating adversity, you want to create results. But so many people are focused on adverse situations that they don't focus on results and solutions. When you're solution-oriented, solution-conscious, when you live in the result, when you're focused on creating outcomes that are favorable, when you have a vision that's clear about the outcome you seek, when you know where you're going to be, when you unequivocally feel it, when you live it, when you're being it, then it's already happening before it's happening. You're magnetizing to reality through the undertow of the energy that you're creating. You're creating the compounded effect before it compounds. And in that space, people unequivocally show up. It's your responsibility to see the signs, the clues, the crossroads on your journey. If you're at a crossroad tonight, take the road that's not going to be the least resistant. Take the road that's going to give you the greatest result. What many people do is they look for the easiest way. Your objective is not to take the most difficult way. Your objective is to find a way to create a solution. And that's going to be your responsibility, the ability to respond. And as you no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, then you are virtually starting to create a prosperity consciousness where you're starting to live in the flow. Adversity doesn't knock on your door as frequently. Adversity is not your companion. Adversity is not your friend and enemy. Adversity is not something you create to overwhelm yourself, to unwind it so you can get a high and a low from the situation you create. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'm very inspired to collaborate with many of you through the next 4 months and a little bit of change in the calendar year 2017. On September 12th, I'll have Todd Falcone as my guest on this call. Coming up in the very near future, in the fall, I'll have a series of other guests who I'll be bringing to the call and announcing them. I'm very inspired to spend quality time with many of you in the very near future. Now, this is a Labor Day weekend, so I also want to to also want to state to all of you, have an outstanding, absolute great holiday weekend, and finish 2017 in results, solutions, and finish strong. Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you've not taken advantage of any of my free 15-minute calls, inbox me with your telephone number and what you would like me to assist you with, and I will get back to you immediately. Have a great evening, everyone, and have a great holiday for the Labor Day weekend 2017. Good night, everyone.